Let us again look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, reminding us of the promise that God has given to us that if anyone reads the book of Revelation, he will be blessed. And I want the blessing because I'm the one who read it. And you need the blessing because you are hearing it. And hopefully all of us will really get the blessing when we keep what is in His word. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. Lord, we do pray that thou will help us, even as we read thy word, we hear it read to us, and we hear it, help us to do it, that Lord, we may be blessed of thee. We claim this blessing from thee, O Lord, even as we open up this book of Revelation, especially at this time when the time is at hand. We give you thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen. I hope that as I finish this last study of the seventh in John's Revelation, you will really go home and read this book. And with the guide that I have given you, I think you should not have much problem in understanding it and in interpreting it. Now, today we are dealing with the seven seal judgments and the rest of the book. We have got to cover within half an hour 19 chapters of Revelation. Now, that is a wonderful achievement, but again, I'm not taking you through the book of Revelation, verse by verse, but I'm giving you a guide to understand how the book should be read and how the book should be written. Please note today's date, 24th September 2017. 24th September 2017, yesterday, was 23rd September. Happened to me. Something has gone wrong with my PowerPoint. Never mind. What I wanted to say was this. It should be there on the PowerPoint, but it's not. I'm not sure why. Yesterday, 23rd September, many people thought that the rapture would take place. Many people thought that the Great Tribulation would start. And you will read a lot of these on video clips and also on articles in the internet. Now, that is based on Revelation chapter 12, which we shall touch on later on. And how it's interpreted, how it is applied, we need to examine. Because it will lead many astray. In fact, when I came in here, I thought for one moment after the start of the meeting, I thought I was in heaven because there are so many people from other states who are here and countries too. So we have multifaceted people to join in to praise the Lord. I was very thankful. Then I look around. This cannot be heaven. Look at the people around me. Look at me. I don't look like one saint in heaven. No. It cannot be heaven. Then in that case, I'm in the Great Tribulation. Woe betide me. Woe betide me. I'm not saved. I'm not in the church. Now, this is the interpretation when you give to a passage of scripture and you wrongly interpret it. So, that's what is taught and is propagated in the internet in the various video clips on September 23. You just have to Google September 23 and you find a list of video clips and articles on this. Never mind, we'll just leave it, otherwise we have no time to finish this. Now, very quickly, what I would like to do is this, to remind you of the outline of Revelation. It is very, very important that you understand the outline. And I told you that chapters 1 to 3 will deal with the churches, the seven churches. And by studying this seven series in Revelation, you will cover the whole book of Revelation. Chapters 4 to 6, you have the seven seal judgments. Chapters 8 and 9, you have the seven trumpet judgments. And chapters 15 and 16, you have the bowl judgments. Now, what is happening is this. We find that chapter 7 is missing. Look at the green highlighted references. Chapter 7 is missing. Chapter 10 is missing. Chapter 11 missing. Chapter 12 missing. Chapter 13 missing. Chapter 14 missing. Where are they? They are what we call the seven parentheses. They are passages which do not move the story of Revelation forward. They are asides, so to speak, and they pause. And as they pause, they give us further understanding of what is going to happen or what is happening. So that's why you have in the seven parentheses, chapter 7, chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, 18, 19, seven parentheses altogether, another seven. Then after that, you have the thousand occurring, the word thousand occurring in chapter 20. All right. And that thousand is very important, as I've told you, when you want to buy a commentary on Revelation, look at chapter 20 and how the commentator interprets the word thousand. If he interprets thousand figuratively as to mean a long indefinite period, then leave that book aside. But if it tells you that the thousand means really thousand, then you can read it and see for yourself what he has to say. But not even all are reliable. Then, of course, you have the last two chapters on the seven new outstanding subjects. Right, so these are the things. Now, whatever it is, we must remember the key to the understanding of Revelation, which was Revelation 1:19, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. In other words, the book of Revelation contains three contents. The things which John saw, the things which John, or rather the things which John had seen, the things which John saw at that time, and the things that John would see. So there's a past, there's a present, and a future. And you must know how to divide those sections in Revelation accordingly. Right. So, we have touched on the past, the things which thou hast seen. We have touched on the present, the things which are with regard to the church. And today we come on to the things that are ahead, that are hereafter, the things which shall be hereafter. That will be the future after the rapture of the church. Sorry, I think I got the wrong PowerPoint. I'm so sorry. Let me switch back. Yeah. Oh, it's here. Sorry. Okay. Let me start again. I'm so sorry about that. All right, very quickly, I've touched on all these things. This is what I was trying to get at. 23rd September. Some people regard that day as the rapture, the day of the rapture, or the Great Tribulation. And it is based on Revelation chapter 12. We shall see how we should interpret Revelation chapter 12 as we go on afterwards. So, very quickly, I have touched on the sevens as they occur in Revelation, singly. I have touched on the sevens as they occur in series, the seven churches, the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven bowl judgments, the seven parentheses. Now, I want you to note that all these come under chapters 4 to 19. And in chapters 4 to 19, when a reference is made to the people who are on earth, it is always referred to as the those or them that dwell upon the earth. Them that dwell upon the earth. Why? Because the church has already gone into heaven. And those that are left behind are the Jews and the Gentiles. They are on the earth. And that's where you find chapters 4 to 19. So do not find the church in chapter 4 to 19. When you find the church in chapters 4 to 19, you get into trouble. And I shall show that to you afterwards. So remember, chapters 4 to 19, you will see conditions of things upon earth written about them that are on the earth, them that dwell on the earth. The others, the church has already gone into heaven in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Those who were killed during the Great Tribulation, somehow they were resurrected and they were raised and they had gone to heaven in chapter 7. How they were resurrected, I'm not sure, and when, I'm not sure, because it's not stated. But they definitely are now in heaven, chapter 7. Alright? 23rd September. Could the rapture take place? Could the Great Tribulation take place? Well, it's all based on chapter 12. And chapter 12 has to do with the Great Tribulation period. Therefore, the church should not be there. Do not find the church there. More about that later on. Now, this is what happened about this September 23rd. It all has to do with, if you quickly flick over to Revelation chapter 12, then you know what I mean. And quickly read through 1 to 4, verses 1 to 4. There was this vision of the woman with 12 stars on her head and a crown and a moon and a moon on the head and at the feet, a sun on the head and the moon at the feet. Now, these prophets of the end times refer to this as the great sign that occurred yesterday, supposed to have occurred yesterday, when the constellation of Virgo was a woman in the astronomy, and in that verse, in that Virgo constellation, there were 12 stars, but they're not clear. Actually, there were nine stars in the Leo constellation and 3 planets, so they count that as 12 stars. Then there would be the sun, supposed to be at the head, but it's just at the side. And there's supposed to be the moon at the feet, all stipulated in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. And so they say. And then, Jupiter, supposed to be at the womb of the woman about to give birth. And so they say, that this is the fulfillment of chapter 12 of Revelation. That constellation incident in the sky, I don't know whether it took place or not, I'm not sure, but it was supposed to take place. Anyway, whatever it is, their claim that this was a rare occasion that it happened in once in 7,000 years, in fact, if we take the creation of the world at 6,000, it will be the time, they say, the birth of Adam and Eve. And so, therefore, this is the birth of the child from the woman. That would be the happen only 6,000 to 7,000 years in at the time. But if you care to look up later on, if you visit my website, this website, then you will find that this astronomer says it's not a rare occasion. There have been regular instances where such constellations have this kind of situation. But anyway, I'm not going to eat because I will have no time. What I want to say is this. This is taken from Revelation 12. We shall see how it should be interpreted afterwards. That the Jupiter in the woman's womb, supposed to be the church, caught up to be raptured. Is this what Revelation chapter 12 teach? All right. Then we have, of course, the thousand. I told you that when you want to see whether a commentary is reliable or not, look at the interpretation of the word thousand. Now, in addition to this, let me tell you, you can also look at Revelation chapter 12 and see how they interpret the child there. The child there. Whether it belongs, it is the Lord Jesus Christ or the church or Israel. We shall see that as we go on. Then, of course, the last two chapters, we have the seven new topics. Talked about the new Jerusalem, the new city, the new heaven, and the new earth. Now, by looking at these seven series in proper order, you will have a good outline of Revelation and where each event takes place. And that will help you in your interpretation of Revelation. Okay, with that, we go on. Very quickly, very briefly, how do you read Revelation? Now, number one, remember, to understand the Bible, you need a key. And Revelation, John always has a key. John has a key to his gospel in John chapter 20, verse 30, 31, where he said, "These things are written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life." And same Revelation 1:19, "These things are written, write the things which thou hast seen, write the things which are, write the things which shall be hereafter." These are the three sections. So John gives us the key. We must know which part is in those which are those which he has seen, which part is which are, and which part is hereafter. So when you know all these, then you know where to place the incidents and how to interpret them. Secondly, comprehend the text from the context. For example, in Revelation chapter 1, it's mentioned about the seven candlesticks or lampstands and the seven stars. Don't interpret them in your immediate imagination and say, "Oh, the seven candlesticks may mean this and mean this and this and so on." Because it's interpreted for you in Revelation 1:20, where it says that the lampstands are the churches, where it says that the stars are the angels. So use what is given you. Now, what's happening is, for example, in Revelation chapter 12, those end time prophets would say that the child would be the church. Why do they say that the child is the church? Now, if you have a Revelation chapter 12 before you, I'll go to that later on, so that you won't be confused. What I'm trying to say is, when a text is given you, and if the interpretation of that text is given you, take that text. Don't come out with your imagination. Third, approach it literally as far as possible. As I said, the thousand in Revelation 20 is literal, not figurative. Or grammatically, for example, says there, we know it cannot be literal. The woman with the star, with a star, the moon below and the sun above, and the 12 stars, so called to speak, that they literally are there. Yes, such a situation could have taken place in astronomy yesterday. But the point is this, when we don't understand and we think it's figurative, then we look back. And what do we see? We see in Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph had a dream. And in that dream, he saw his parents as the moon and as the sun. And he and his brethren as the 12 stars, and they bowed down. So definitely the woman would represent Israel, because that's Israel. So this is how we look at it and how we compare scripture with scripture, and not with our own imagination. When there are symbols used, then we need to use what is given to us before in the scriptures, what these mean. For example, chapter 13 of Revelation, we see the creature with seven heads and 10 horns. And we see his body of a leopard, and his feet of a bear, and then the mouth of a lion. So don't come and interpret all sorts of things and say that this lion, because it's a lion, it must be Britain. And the bear must be Russia, because it's a bear. And so on. Look back to Daniel chapter 7. Because this image is taken from Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel 7 specifically says, in his interpretation, that the lion is Nebuchadnezzar and is Babylon. And we find that the bear is Persia. Yeah. And then we have the leopard, the Greek, and sorry, Medo Persia. Alright, Medo Persia, and followed by the Greeks. Right. So the interpretation is given to us in Daniel chapter 7. So do not come in with our own imagination. Alright. Fifthly, lastly, let the Spirit apply the lessons to your life. Because what the Spirit said unto you, do it. So we must learn from the scriptures and what that is saying. Let me go over again. The sevens in the Great Tribulation, chapter 6 to chapter 19, verse 10. An overview of the seven seals. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb. John was very worried. He could not find somebody worthy enough to open the seals that were covering the book that was given. And nobody in heaven could open up the seals. Only the Lord Jesus Christ did. And he is the one with seven horns, seven eyes, and seven spirits. And then he was worthy to open that book. And we find that the seven seals of that book were opened. What is the meaning of these seven seals? Their perspective. Please note that these seven seals judgment were given after chapter 4 verse 1. Chapter 4 verse 1, John was taken into heaven, signifying the rapture, that the church raptured into heaven. And chapter 6 would appear after chapter 4. Therefore, it will be a future event after the rapture of the church. Thirdly, as I pointed out last week, it would coincide with Daniel's 70th week. Because there are a lot of references in Revelation made to Daniel's 70th week. The happenings in Daniel's 70th week, and Revelation 13 is one incident. Their relationship to Christ discourse. We find that, as we discovered last week, that many of the incidents described in Revelation can be taken from Matthew chapter 24, which definitely is a chapter on the Great Tribulation. Therefore, these chapters must be interpreted in terms of the Great Tribulation and not in our present age. The judgment. Very quickly, I have no time to go through in detail. Just to draw your attention. The first four seal judgments came with horses. First horse was white horse, peace, signifying peace. The red horse, signifying bloodshed. Black horse, signifying death. And the pale horse, signifying the after death. Because after the rider of the on the pale horse, there was the rider Death and Hades. Death and Hades. Hades following Death. Those who die will go to Hades. And after that, no more horses. The fifth seal, the sixth seal, the seventh seal, no more horses. But we find judgments coming down from heaven. Alright? Here again, as I mentioned last week, you see the division of four and three very clearly. Perhaps suggesting that the fourth seal could last until even the seventh seal. I have my point here when I go on afterwards. So, that will be the seven seals. Give you a picture of it. Going back to Daniel's 70th week, The week is divided into two. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Alright? The first 3.5 years, there would be peace. A covenant of peace made between Israel and the Antichrist. Midweek, Antichrist will break the treaty and then he will persecute the Israelites, persecute the Jews, and all those who do not want to follow him. Now, if you look at the chart, you'll find that the white seal, that the white horse on the first seal, red horse, black horse, could take place in the first 3.5 years because there will be peace. Then we find that in the middle of it, we will have Antichrist setting himself up as God in the temple. And when he did so, he would bring forth the great persecution. Actually, the name the great persecution would only apply to the second half of the great tribulation. And so you find that the judgments will come after one after another until the seventh seal. Until the seventh seal. Then Christ will come. Remember, Christ is in heaven with the church. Christ will come. And then there will be the great last battle, and then Antichrist will be destroyed. So apparently, the sealed judgments will give you the whole picture, the whole outline of the future times. And the bowl judgments and trumpet judgments will be just an expansion of what is happening here. First seal, Antichrist beginning his conquest in peace. Second seal, war and bloodshed. Third seal, famine in the land. Fourth seal, death and Hades. Fifth seal, martyrs of the great tribulation. Sixth seal, worldwide convulsion. And seventh seal, there's no judgment there. When the seventh trumpet is blown, bang, the seventh trumpet judgment comes. Sorry, when the seventh seal is broken, bang, the seventh trumpet start to blow. Giving the impression that the seven trumpets are in the seventh seal. These seven seal judgments can also be compared to the Mount Olivet discourse in Matthew 24. Now, if you look carefully, if you compare, I have no time, but I'm just giving you a guide, a clue, that when you go back, you can do it. For example, if you compare Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, you will find the same false Christ in Matthew 4 and 5. White horse, peace. There are those false Christ who pronounce peace, 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 but actually there is no peace. These are the false Christ, the white horse rider. Verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 6, war. And you find verse 6 and 7 of Matthew 24, wars. 5 and 6 of Revelation 6, a black horse signifying famine. Matthew mentioned the word famine. Revelation 6, you have death on the white horse, followed by Hades, 7 and 8. And then in Matthew, you have a lot of people dying because of earthquakes and a lot of pestilences on earth. Then you have martyrs, people being killed for the Lord. And then in Matthew, you have also martyrs, those who are true to the Lord being killed. Chapter 6 of Revelation, you have worldwide chaos. And likewise, there will be those false prophets going around. Here is Christ, there is Christ. And then there is a lot of chaos in the world. Now, chapter 7, you have the 144,000 going out to witness to the world. That's how the Jews will be converted back to the Lord and not follow Antichrist. And Matthew 24 also says this. And this is a verse that has always been misappropriated and misapplied. Throughout the world, that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Many people say, at the end of the world, towards the end of the world, the world will be evangelized. The people will be saved because the gospel will be preached. Please note, Matthew 24:14 says the gospel of the kingdom. It is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the same gospel as we hear. When we hear the gospel that we know, we believe we have reserved a place in heaven. When these people believe in the gospel of the kingdom, they reserve a place, not in heaven, they reserve a place in the millennial kingdom to come. Because after the great tribulation, we have the millennium. That is the gospel. So you find that you need to place the text in its proper context in order to interpret scripture. Otherwise, you will come up with false ideas and false prophecies. So, roughly speaking, therefore, it can also be related to Daniel's vision of the 70th week. And you will note that, again, the church period is not mentioned. 69 weeks, and then here you have the 70th week. And this is the week that we are talking of. This is the week that Daniel, from chapter 6 to 19, John, chapter 6 to 19, of Revelation, is dealing with. So, roughly speaking then, here is the outline. The church age here, Revelation 2 and 3, 4 and 5, church in heaven, 6 to 19, the church in the great tribulation. We have the judgment of the seals and the judgment of the trumpet, probably before the middle of the week, because in chapters 11 and 12 we have mentioned there the measurement of the temple in chapter 11. When the temple is established, it is already about the middle of the Daniel's 70th week. Why do I say that? Because we read in Matthew chapter 24 that when you see the abomination of desolation being set up, as mentioned by Daniel, and Daniel mentioned the abomination of desolation in the temple, when Antichrist would break the covenant of peace with Israel. So it will be the middle of the week, and then there will be problem. There will be the great tribulation taking place. Alright? So if we get these facts correct, then we will have a right perspective of things. So, generally then, now I'm repeating this so that you will get a clear picture and not get confused of the outline of Revelation. Again, the rapture, Revelation chapter 1 and 2, 3, chapter 4, the church goes to heaven, and then from chapter 6 right on to chapter 19, we have the great tribulation. We have the judgment of the seals and the trumpets. Then we also have the judgment of the bowls. And this is in conformity with to Matthew chapter 24 verses 9 to 14. And then after the midweek persecution, Matthew 24, 16 to 31. Because in Matthew 24 verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation come upon you, flee. That's when the great tribulation, really great tribulation, will take place. And so you see the perspective, and after chapter 19, you come on to chapter 20, the millennial kingdom. Chapter 21, you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Chapter 19, you have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then after that, you have the millennium, and then the end times, eternity. So, this roughly is the outline of Revelation. Do these judgments relate to one another? It gives the impression that the seal judgment will cover the whole period. When the seventh seal was broken, nothing happened. After that, we find the trumpet judgments taking place. The trumpets were sounded. chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And when it comes to the seventh trumpet, again, nothing happened. But after that, you see the bowl judgments. So it gives the impression, may not be correct, I'm not sure, that the seventh seal judgment contains the seven trumpet judgments. And the seventh trumpet contains the seven bowl judgments. Rather than they follow one after another. So the seal judgments are very important, and that's why I entitled this morning's study as the study of the three, that are seven seal judgments that will cover the whole of Revelation chapter 6 to 19. So this is what it looks like in graphic form. Right? Very quickly, seven trumpets. The seven trumpets were blown after the seventh seal was broken. Firstly, when the seventh seal was broken, there was silence. And then we read in chapter 8, verse 2, that there were those who had died during the great persecution under the altar crying out, "How long? How long more? Wait." The Lord says, "Wait, for there are many more to be killed. Wait for your brethren who will be killed. Then I will bring judgment upon them." And then after that, you find the seven trumpets blown. The seven trumpets, again, as they are blown, judgments will fall upon the earth. And the primary scene that we see is when the judgments fall down, one third of the world will be affected. For example, we have the earth affected, one third destroyed, sea, one third turned to blood, water, also one third water became bitter, and so on. One third. So one third of the natural things would be destroyed when the trumpet judgments were blown. Now, let's look at the following bowl judgments. Again, seven judgments were blown. Seven judgments were thrown out by way of the bowl judgments. What is interesting about these bowl judgments is that somehow they seem to parallel the plagues in Exodus. You remember there were 10 plagues in Exodus that came upon Egypt. And you will see that some of these plagues in the bowl judgments also occurred in the plague judgments given to Egypt, when the Lord judged Egypt and redeemed Israel from Egypt. Okay, all these you can study on your own, but what I want to draw attention is this verse. This verse, which has often been quoted by many people at funerals. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." Now, this is taken from Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. And in Revelation 14, 13, we read, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." And so these words are often applied in the funeral service of a Christian. They are dead. They are blessed. Is this the context? No. Please note, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14 means that it is between 6 to 19. It has to do with the Great Tribulation. Nothing to do with the church. The church already in heaven. Chapters 2 and 3. Please note also the word, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth." It does not say those who died already before. From henceforth. Chapter 14. What henceforth? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. That will be those who would die in the trumpet judgments. those who die in the bowl judgment, they will die, they will be martyred, and they will be raised. And blessed are they who will die during those judgments. They will be raised and they will be blessed of the Lord. So that is the text. And we must not confuse this to apply it to the Christians, because it's not applicable to the Christians. When you compare the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, you can see on the chart on the screen, you find that they are almost parallel. One is almost an expansion of the other. Well, I have no time to go through everyone, but just to let you know that there is a parallelism between the two, the bowl judgments and the trumpet judgments. In the bowl, that in the trumpet judgments, 1/3 of everything will go. In the bowl judgments, you'll find that there will be greater disaster. So, now an overview of the seven parentheses. I've talked of the seven seal judgments, I've talked of the seven bowl judgments. What about the parentheses in between? What are they? Seven of them, not six, not five, seven. One, you have the tribulation saints in chapter 7. 144,000 will go around witnessing, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They do not apply to the church. Chapter 7 is after chapter 6. Chapter 4, they do not apply to the church. So do not find the 144 witnesses among Christians, because they are those raised up by the Lord to preach to His people, to bring them, to prepare them for the kingdom. And they preach the gospel of the kingdom and not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, second parenthesis. You see the angel, the mighty angel, with a small book, and then seven thunders roared out from him. And he was supposed to bring the judgments, but John was told, do not record the judgments. When the thunders roared out, do not record the judgments. So we do not know what the thunder judgments are. Chapter 11, we have the two witnesses who died and then who were raised again. Now, many people have believed in different personnel for these two witnesses, Moses and Elijah and so on. Well, we won't go into that yet. I won't go into that for this time. Chapter 12, this is the part that gives the problem of September 23rd. The travail of Israel and the dragon with seven heads and seven crowns. Now, then chapter 13, you have the two beasts. One beast from the sea, one beast from the land. That will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. I want now to just take off a little bit of time, a parenthesis, to deal with this September 23rd issue. Chapter 12 of Revelation deals with seven personages that will appear at that time. There will be the woman clothed with the sun. Now, look at chapter 12, will you? As I talk, so that you know what September 23rd is all about. Now, these people say that it's Israel. We agree. They are Israel. Israel, because as I said, Joseph had a dream, and Joseph saw in that dream his father and his mother, the sun and the moon, and the 12 stars as his own brethren. Chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, you find there appearing a red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns. Now, the red dragon is where we differ from these people. They say that because the woman, one, represents an entity, Israel, so the dragon, one, represents an entity, Antichrist and his armies and his people, after Israel. Now, that cannot be. Because, again, as I said, when a text is given and you are not sure read the interpretation if it is given. And verse 9, we are told definitely that the dragon is Satan. It's an individual, not an entity. 3, the male child is Christ. At that stage, all are agreed that it was Christ who was born from the woman. Out of Israel came up Christ. Chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 12, verses 7 and 12, we find that there was war in heaven. And Michael cast the devil out, down into the earth. That's why he could create trouble. You see, today, Satan is not fully released yet. He cannot create trouble for us, the church, because he is in mid-air. But during the Great Tribulation, he will be cast down from heaven, and he will be cast down to earth. And then he will create havoc upon the people on earth, them that dwell upon the earth. Chapter 12, verse 13 to 17, we are told that the dragon will come face to face with the woman and the male child. And their interpretation of the male child is the church. Because it says that the male child was caught up, and the church will be caught up in the rapture. Therefore, there's a church, and that's why September 23rd is very important, because during September 23rd, there was this constellation in the universe happening, and therefore the child will be caught up. That will be the church. Argument: if the woman would represent Israel, an entity, why cannot the male child and the dragon, also an entity, to represent Antichrist? The male child, therefore, must be an entity, the church. Now, that's wrong interpretation. Because we are definitely told in chapter 12 and verse 17 that there was a remnant. And Satan was after the remnant. So, when we read Revelation, we must not pay heed to the sensational interpretation that we hear on the internet. Let us read the word and divide the word itself. And chapter 13, chapter 4, 13, two beasts will come out, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Alright? I only wish I had time to give more. Alright, so we have chapter 13, the two beasts, one with seven heads and ten horns. And chapter 14, the triumph of the Lamb, in summary, foreseeing the victory of the Lamb. 17 to 19, we have the end of Babylon. We have no time to go into detail for that. So roughly then, this is the graphic design of Revelation. Again, the key verse is Revelation 1:19. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, taking us from chapter 4 to chapter 22, the end. So when you know the perspective of all these, then you will be able to interpret your revelation very easily. Finally, we come to the last end time events. Chapters 19 and 20, we have the king and his kingdom. The Lord will be coming, chapter 19, and then he will establish his kingdom on earth. First part, we read of the four hallelujahs, worshipping the Lord. And then after that, we have the bridal. After that, we have him, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming out to fight his last battle at Armageddon, known also as God's Great Supper, where Satan will be defeated. And then we find in chapter 20, verses 4 to 6, Satan bound for 1,000 years. One literal 1,000 years. And at the same time, while he is bound, Jesus will reign in peace upon the earth for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit, and then he will fight his last battle, and he will be cast into the lake of fire. He will cast into hell. By the way, If any one of you, if anyone, any person tells you, go to hell, don't be afraid. Because you can never go there. Why? Because there is no one in hell at the moment. Hell only exists when the false prophet and when the beast are thrown into hell. They were the two, chapter 19. Then they were there, will be there for 1,000 years. That's why in hell there's no end to suffering. Because at the end of 1,000 years, when Satan was released, he would be defeated in the battle and he would be thrown into hell. And we find that when he was thrown into hell, the first beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are still there. After 1,000 years, they are still there. That the first occupants of hell are Antichrist and the false prophet. Joined later on by Satan. Joined later on by whom? We shall see. A great white throne will be set up. And all these people will be raised from Hades, the place of the dead. And they will face judgment from him who sits on the great white throne. And then all the sinners, all of them, no one can escape. When they are judged from the book of life and the book of works, they will be found guilty and they will be thrown into hell. And this time is hell. Now, the King James Version is not very correct. The King James Version translates chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 as death and hell were cast. No, it should be, as in the modern translations, death and Hades. For when we die today, we don't go to hell. Sinners don't go to hell. They go to Hades, the place of the departed dead. So that after the judgment of at the great white throne, we find that death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So Hades and hell are two different things. Chapter 21, 22, all things new. Everything is new. We have a new heaven, a new earth, a new city, a new nations coming to worship, new river, new tree of life, new throne. Oh, how wonderful. That's why, after examining the atmosphere this morning, I told myself I could not be in heaven. All right? So, that's the end of our study of Revelation. Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire after the judgment seat of Christ, after the great white throne. For your information, very quickly, do you realize that there are 17 entities of seven in the scripture, in Revelation alone? Seven churches, seven lampstands, seven stars, seven spirits of God, seven seals, seven horns. That's why I see so many sevens. Beautiful study of sevens. I only wish I had all the 7 weeks to deal with the sevens in Revelation. Mr. Bing's looking at me. Well, there are got 7 beatitudes, 7 groups of people who flee from the sixth seal. When the sixth seal was opened, you look there in the board, 7. There's 7-fold praise. At the end of it all, the church will be in heaven, and the church will give a 7-fold praise. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive 1. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. Perfect praise. Chapter 5. Before the Great Tribulation, the church in heaven. Chapter 7. And all the angels stood round about the throne and above the elders and the 4 beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might. Chapter 7. The Great Tribulation saints joining. And they also praise the Lord with perfect praise. How wonderful. That is heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of a heaven before us. We do pray that while waiting for that to come, we may be prepared, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come soon, and we do not know any time He will come. But Lord, let us be prepared, be watchful. We ask these things, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.